This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, August 3rd. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll take a look at the results of an investigation into alleged illicit behavior by Catholic priests in the Diocese of Springfield. And then a little bit later, we'll get a forecast from AM 580's meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, though, a look at today's news. First, it was the heat, now the rain. Storms rolled through Illinois through this morning. ComEd spokesman Jeff Burdick says about 40,000 customers in northern Illinois were left without power for at least some time last night and into early this morning. Burdick says the thunderstorms are to blame for most of the outages, which were concentrated in the city of Chicago and in its southern and western suburbs. Democrats and Republicans might be forced to make room on the ballot for governor this year. The Illinois Green Party says it survived a petition challenge and will have a statewide slate this fall. Sean Crawford reports.
Third parties in Illinois face plenty of obstacles to get ballot access, such as having to file five times as many valid signatures as the two main parties. Rich Whitney, who is the Green Party's candidate for governor, says he's been keeping a running count during the process of checking nominating petitions. Whitney says it appears enough signatures have been confirmed to put his party on the fall ballot. A Carbondale attorney, Whitney has complained Republicans and Democrats conspire to limit the choice of voters.
The suggested headline is that David is going to get his swing at Goliath.
But the Illinois State Board of Elections won't go as far. While the board could give the go-ahead to the Greens at a meeting later this month, the board's director says the petition review is still ongoing. Whitney is already looking ahead. He says he wants to be included in debates with Democrat Rod Blagojevich and Republican Judy Barr Topinka. I'm Sean Crawford.
15 homeless veterans will get a place to live under a plan to expand the Mantino Veterans Home to help more disabled people who are living on the street. The $1.5 million expansion is being funded by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development and the Illinois Housing Development Authority. Governor Blagojevich's office says it'll be the first time those sources of housing money have been tapped to aid homeless disabled veterans. The governor says it could be a national model for dealing with, in his words, the likely increase in mental health problems among veterans returning from Iraq and Afghanistan. The Mantino Veterans Home is about 40 miles south of Chicago, and it now has 352 beds. State lawmakers in Indiana are using a tragic identification mistake as a springboard to require training for county coroners. Coroners are elected in both Indiana and Illinois, and currently the only requirements to run in Indiana are that you're at least 18 years old and you've lived in your county for at least a year. But a legislative committee is considering a requirement that coroners go through a 40-hour course that deputy coroners already have to take. About half of the state's elected coroners have taken the course voluntarily, including Fountain County coroner Tim Shoemaker.
And it was not an easy test. I'm an insurance agent, actually, and I have my securities license. And you know, that I kind of judge it based on that. The securities license took quite a bit to get, but that test was not an easy test.
Shoemaker says the course should be mandatory, but lawmakers say they may not be able to place that requirement on elected Indiana officials without amending the state constitution. Illinois law requires that coroners apply for and complete their training. The issue came up after an Indiana coroner misidentified one college student who died in a crash this past spring as another student in the same van who survived. Police in Normal, Illinois say a masked gunman made off with a substantial amount of money after robbing an illegal poker game at a local pizza place this week. Police wouldn't disclose how much money was taken, but Normal Police Sergeant Scott Johnson said it wasn't a nickel-and-dime game of poker. Police say the man went into the Primetime Pizza one night earlier this week and made the six poker players empty their pockets. Johnson says he's not sure whether any of the players taking part in the Texas Hold'em-style tournament will be charged with any crime, though. Poker is considered illegal gambling in Illinois. The gunman has not been caught, and police are developing a list of suspects. For the latest newscast online, go to willl.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. For years, there have been rampant rumors about clergy misconduct in the Catholic Diocese of Springfield. And yesterday, the results of a special investigation into alleged immoral and illicit behavior by Catholic priests was released there. Kavitha Cardoza has more.
Whether the report is read as the overwhelming majority of priests are devoted servants of Christ, or that a small number have been involved in serious misconduct, may depend on whether your cup of faith is half full or half empty. 18 months ago, Bishop George Lucas appointed a panel to look into allegations against priests in the Springfield Diocese. That covers 28 counties and about 160,000 parishioners. Former U.S. Attorney for the Central District of Illinois, Bill Roberts, headed that investigation. He said there were boxes of information to wade through, hundreds of phone calls and emails, and talking to many, many people.
Some was gossip. Some was probably fact. Some was speculation. There was wheat and there was chaff.
In the end, Robert said they found 8 priests of the approximately 130 currently serving guilty of serious misconduct. None of it deemed criminal, though. 4 individuals, including the former leader of the diocese, Bishop Daniel Ryan, were named. According to the report, he engaged in sexual relationships with adults. He's also said to have fostered a culture of secrecy where parishioners who came forward with their concerns were either penalized or ignored. Another priest named was Eugene Costa, who was severely attacked after allegedly propositioning 2 young men for sex in a city park. He's currently and expected to be permanently barred from future ministry by the end of the year. 2 other priests are still part of an ongoing investigation. Roberts declined to release specifics of the investigation, saying salacious details didn't serve a purpose.
For those who have said, yes, I have done wrong, yes, I want help, yes, I want to continue in my vocation, I think the gist of that document is, what good is it to further batter those people?
Robert said accusations made against current Bishop George Lucas were not credible. Robert said the accuser, who alleged a sexual relationship with Lucas and several others in the diocese, failed a polygraph test and refused to cooperate further. The investigators also found improper financial activities at several parishes where priests misused collection money for their personal use. In other instances, parish computers were used to access inappropriate sites. Investigators found anecdotal evidence of Catholics abandoning their faith because of this misconduct. Bishop Lucas was asked whether there might be financial repercussions, such as Catholics withholding donations.
Yeah, my hope is just the opposite, actually. The hope of this process, and it's my sincere hope now, is that we can take an important step in the direction of restoring confidence.
He said there would be a change in financial oversight of church funds. Both Roberts and Lucas declined to provide information on the amount of money priests were misusing and the cost of the investigation. Also, all the 8 priests are currently supported by the church, even though some have been removed from active ministry. There were several recommendations, including that there be vigilant oversight, such as retaining the investigators, monitoring priests who return to ministry after treatment, unannounced financial reviews, and random computer audits. Bishop Lucas says he'll implement all of them.
I'm deeply sorry for the misdeeds of any priest whom I have placed in or allowed to remain in a position of trust in this diocese. We can't change the things that have happened in the past, but I think we're now in a position to work actively to shape the future.
One of those serving on the special panel, State Senator William Hayne of Alton, says hopefully this report will show parishioners their concerns are being taken seriously.
Under the previous bishop, Ryan, there was a widespread belief locally in the Springfield area, I suppose, that your complaints would fall on deaf ears. There'd be an active effort to ignore them or not to do anything about them. And it's changed.
Bishop Lucas said it was a difficult decision to begin the investigation and to discover what he called the painful truth, that some priests were misusing their positions of trust and undermining people's faith. Lucas says he wants the diocese to begin healing.
Together we strive to do the work of the gospel with integrity, and sometimes we fall short. We must never deny or cover up our failings. With prayer, in a spirit of rigorous honesty, and with a desire always for repentance and for the possibility of reconciliation, we can continue to be reformed individually and as a church according to the heart of Christ.
Lucas is hoping bringing this report of clergy misconduct to light will help end a dark chapter in the Springfield Diocese. I'm Kavita Cardoza.
Well, our meteorologist Ed Kieser says the extreme heat is over, but it doesn't mean it's going to be really cool. And today we do have the risk of severe weather. His forecast for today includes a mix of sun and clouds throughout Illinois and Indiana, with clusters of showers and thunderstorms. Some of them could be severe today. The highs today ranging from only 82 degrees in northwest Illinois to still around 95 in the south. Tonight, in northern and central Illinois, clearing and a bit less humid, and in central Indiana and the south, scattered showers and thunderstorms in the evening, then clearing overnight, and lows ranging from 62 in northwest Illinois to 72 in the south. Sunny and seasonable tomorrow, highs ranging between 83 and 89 degrees. And looking ahead to Saturday, mostly sunny again, highs 85 to 90. Sunday, hazy sunshine, hot and humid, with another chance of scattered thunderstorms moving in on Monday. The highs Sunday, 88 to 93. Monday's highs ranging from the 80s in the north to the 90s in the south. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, August 3rd. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information at our website, wyll.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.